You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
You're listening to QLJNRadio.com.
The Hot New Q.
It's time for Final Authority, a biblically-based program that speaks to questions from you, the listener, and addressing topics revealing truth and understanding of the scriptures in their appropriate context. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to speak to the host at any time during this live broadcast, dial 914-205-5481. Be sure to press 1. And now, here is the pastor of the Will of God Christian Center in Vallejo, California, Pastor Everett Robinson.
All right. Well, praise God. I thank God that you have tuned in to QLJNRadio.com. You have tuned in to the Final Authority. This is your host, Pastor and Teacher Everett Robinson, known as the Ambassador. And we'll be picking up on where we left off a few weeks ago, or I should say a couple of weeks ago, on dealing with the subject, to forgive or not to forgive. So this will be part two. Actually, we should be closing out today. But the Final Authority, we air live every Monday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., unless otherwise indicated. If you have a question or a comment, or maybe you want to express another view, you know, please feel free to call in anytime. The number to call in will be 914-205-5481. Again, the number is 914-205-5481. Once you call that number and you are dialed in, then press the number 1 and my producer will connect you to my line and I'll welcome you to the Final Authority. Okay, so we're going to go ahead on and start off with a word of prayer and get you going here. Well, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe on you with our heart and our soul, resting our faith upon you and that which you have done for us by way of the rugged cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for having willingly laid your life down for us. Thank you, dying for our sins, shed your blood, was buried, and literally having risen from among the dead for our justification. You are alive forevermore. We look to you as the resurrected, ascended Lord, who's exalted and now seated at the right hand of the Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for having washed us from our sins and have robed us in your righteousness, having brought us to the Father. You forever redeemed us to God by thy blood. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and give you glory because we know and accept by faith, based upon the revelation and the authority of the Holy Scriptures, that you have forgiven us of all of our sins, solely contingent upon the sacrificial, substitutionary, satisfactory work of Christ on that cross for us. Thank you because you provided Christ for us as our salvation, for he is our redemption. He is our very life. We give you praise. We give you glory, Father. We ask that you would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ and in the knowledge of the Word. And we pray, oh God, that you are working us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And even as we talk about forgiveness, Father, we ask you to open our eyes and our understanding about true forgiveness, forgiveness that you have toward us and the forgiveness that we should have one toward another. We thank you, we praise you, and give you glory. In Jesus' holy, majestic name, so be it, and amen. Okay, all right. So we want to deal with the subject matter. I'm actually going to be going back a little bit on some things I had already covered just to recap on some of the things that we covered. And we did bring out the fact that sin is a transgression against the law of God. And so the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And so all of us have sinned against God. And the law of God states that the wages of sin is death. Death means separation from. And so when man sinned, he became separated from God. And we shared with you that death means separation. For an example, we covered the fact that if you were to take grass and separate grass from the earth, what happens to the grass? The grass dies. Why? It became separated. All right, you take a fish, you take fish out of water, keep the fish out of the water, what happens to the fish? The fish dies, why it became separated, all right? Now, when it came to man, God created man in his image. And so God had told Adam, as recorded in the book of Genesis, told Adam that, Adam, you may freely eat of the trees of the garden, but there's a tree in the midst of the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat of that tree, for in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. That's death, separation from. And so Adam had fellowship with God. And so there came a day and time in which Adam had consciously disobeyed God. He transgressed against the revealed command of God, and he ate of the very fruit that God told him not to eat of, the fruit of the tree. And so ultimately, there was a death. And I want to bring out that the Bible speaks of several kinds of death. And so Adam, we believe, became what is called spiritually dead, which resulted in physical death. Had not Adam disobeyed God and thus became alienated and separated from God, spiritual death is resulted in what physical death is. So physical death is the fruit of spiritual death. Had not Adam disobeyed God, he would have never had spiritual death, resulting in physical death. So all have sinned, so death passed upon all men, okay? So Adam sinned against God, then that sin was passed on to the human race. And so we are all in Adam, thus we have a sin nature, a fallen nature, a depraved nature. We sin against a holy God. It is our propensity and our nature to sin against God. And this is where man has to be rejuvenated, get a new nature, all right, and become redeemed, because man in a simple state who sinned against God, resulting in death, separation from spiritual death, physical death, resulting in ultimately what is called eternal death. All right, we dealt with that a little bit also out of the book of Revelation, chapter 20, when it talks about the great white throne judgment. And in the book of Revelation, the last verse of chapter 20, is verse 15. And it makes a statement, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, okay? The word second can only, it only implies there must be a first death or another other than a second death, because there can't be a second if there wasn't a first or another kind other than the second death, right? So the second death has to do with an eternal separation from God, death. Again, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. So we can't redeem ourselves. We sin against God. We'll ultimately experience physical death and ultimately eternal death, separation from God. Well, the only way that we could now have a union with God is through God's provision. And God provided a way whereby we can be forgiven of our sins against him, and that he will justify us, and it's only contingent upon what Christ done for us on the cross. Now, with that said, let me have you turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll move to Ephesians chapter 4. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we will read verse 7, all right, in whom, that's in Christ, all right, in whom, in Christ. When you read the preceding verses, referring back to the person Jesus Christ. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him. So as a result of your hearing the gospel, the good news concerning what Christ has done for you, all right, that which Christ has done for you as a result of what he done on the cross of Calvary, in whom, in Christ, we have what? Redemption. All right? Even the forgiveness, we have redemption through his what? His blood. We see there that Jesus Christ literally on a cross died and shed his blood. So he was crucified on the cross. Your sins were placed upon Christ on that rugged cross. The Father God judged Christ for your sins. Christ was the just. He's the just one. We were the unjust. The just died for the unjust, all right? Our sins were placed upon him. He satisfied the demands of divine justice because he's God who is a just and the holy God. He must judge sin. Because we sin against God, the law of God said we must be judged. So Christ went our place. He satisfied the judgment of God for you and I on the cross. So his blood was shed for the forgiveness of your sin and to redeem you to the Father. Christ was buried and rose again from among the dead, gave evidence of his resurrection. The Father God raised Christ up, highly exalted him, back up into heaven, and set Christ at his own right hand. And Christ right now is in the presence of the Father God as your great high priest and as your advocate. And the Bible says that he appeared in the presence of God for us, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. So, solely contingent upon what Christ done for you on the rugged cross of Calvary, God has chosen to forgive you. He don't forgive you because you've been so good. He don't forgive you because you went to church. He don't forgive you because you got baptized. He don't forgive you because you gave some good works or you tried to observe the Ten Commandments, all right, or you've done some religious work. The forgiveness of God against your sins is solely based upon and only based upon what Christ done for you on the cross. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So God has forgiven us. Now let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 32. Paul says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." So God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. That is for, on the behalf of Christ, of that work that Christ has done. This is why it's so very important that you have a true revelation, if you would, based upon the scriptures, an understanding and accept by faith that what Christ done was sufficient for God to forgive you. So you don't have to work for forgiveness. You don't have to do anything to earn forgiveness or feel forgiveness. See, God forgave me not because I feel like it. He forgave me because what Christ has done. All I did was hear the true gospel of Christ. I believed in my heart what Christ, God's Son, done for me on the rugged cross. And I then realized that I'm a sinner. And I realized that what Jesus did for me, God forgives me on the basis of what Christ done for me. God saves me and delivers me from my sins based upon what Christ has done for me. And I then repent. I turn to faith and trust in what Christ done. God forgives me. Because, see, up on your believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is Christ that washes you from your sins. He robes you in his righteousness. You now are joined to Christ. Christ is the righteousness of God personified. Christ is holy and without blame. The Father God is well pleased with the Son, Jesus Christ. And so when you join faith in Christ, the Spirit then joins you to Christ. You are in a union with Christ. Now because you are in union with Christ, it is Christ that brings you to the Father, and the Father God then declares you righteous. He justifies you, acquits you of every charge and every sin. Thus, you then are separated from ever being condemned because Christ was condemned for you, and now you're covered in the blood of Christ, covered in the robe of Christ, that righteousness of Christ. So you're forgiven because of what Christ has done. I accept that by faith. Now, it doesn't matter what you have ever done in your life. It doesn't matter the nature of your sin. It don't matter the nature of whatever it is that you may have done. You may have done something very, very wicked, evil, or what have you. So God forgives you. So all your sins are placed upon Christ. So Christ literally came from the realm of glory, the place of eternity, out from the Father God, was sent by the Father God to be conceived in the womb of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit to take upon human flesh, so that he can go in your place and ultimately be crucified and satisfy the judgment of God for you. That's what he did. And as the prophet Isaiah puts it, he, Christ, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And in the same chapter, it says that when the Father saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. Why? Christ's soul came under the judgment of God. And so now, Christ satisfied the judgment of God for you. So based upon what Christ done, God has forgiven you. So don't let the past of guilt and shame remove you from trusting what God has said as revealed in the Word. You must make the judgment based upon the Word, not your feelings, because you still feel funny or bad or guilty about something. Hey, man, your guilt should be gone. Don't let the enemy condemn you over some past stuff, because it was, however bad it was, you have a sense of guilt. Man, I have a sense of right standing with God. I have peace with God. The way Paul puts it in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, or let me start at chapter 4, verse 25, and then go to chapter 5, verse 1. He says in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he says that Christ, the first word is who, referring to Christ, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, that Christ was delivered for our offenses. You and I, we were the offenders. We were the guilty ones. We offended the law of God. But Christ was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered over to judgment and death for our sins. So he was delivered for our offenses. But it says he was raised again for what? Our justification. All right? Therefore, being or having been justified, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm justified by God, and I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not through any work I have done. It's through all that Christ has done. I now have peace with God. So I don't let the past of any form of guilt or sense of shame affect me, because I'm justified and I have peace with God. Okay? Now, so we deal with the fact that God has forgiven you. Now, let me just give you another passage of Scripture. I think this would be a very good one for us to look at. In the book of Romans, and so if you have your Bible, turn me to the book of Romans chapter 3. Okay? In Romans chapter 3, Paul says, and I'll start at verse 23. Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. Through what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So again, the redemptive work that Christ had accomplished, that his suffering, death, and shed blood was a provision of redemption for us. So I have redemption through, so his death was a redemptive death for us in our place, being justified freely by his God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth or put on public display to be a propitiation, satisfaction through faith in his blood, to declare or demonstrate his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare or demonstrate, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Okay, now, so what I'm going to show you is this. In verse 25, it says, whom, referring back to Christ, whom God has set forth upon public display. Christ was put on public display on the cross before the whole world. So the Roman world and Gentile world, Christ, the Roman world and the Jewish world saw Christ on that cross. So whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. The word propitiation, it's a big word, not commonly used, but it simply means satisfaction. That God put Christ sovereignly on that cross through the hands of wicked men, on publicly and openly, for Christ to satisfy the judgment of God. Christ was set forth to be a propitiation. All right, so it was only Christ that could satisfy the judgment of God for us. Why? Because on the cross, Christ was the one that had all our sins placed on him. And he was judged for the sin of the whole world. So he's the propitiation through what? Faith in his blood. Then it says to declare or demonstrate his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. So here, God did not relent and hold back his judgment when he judged his son. And when God judged his son, justice was satisfied upon Christ on that rugged cross, because your sins were judged upon Christ on the cross. Then it goes on and says in verse 26, to declare or demonstrate his righteousness. See, God, when he judged his son, he was demonstrating his righteous nature and character. All right? And because he's God, he had to judge sin, and because the sin was placed on Christ, he could not hold back his judgment, because it was his son, because he sent the son to go on to take the judgment and to die for your sins. So God demonstrated his righteous character in nature when he judged your sins upon the person of the Son, Jesus Christ. So to declare or demonstrate, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him, what? Which believeth in Jesus. To believe in Jesus is to believe in and to embrace all that Christ has done for you on the cross, to accept the fact that he satisfied the judgment of God, the fact that he died for your sins and shed his blood for you and was buried for you and rose again from among the dead for your justification. See, so which believeth in Jesus. So God is the just and the justifier. All right? So God is just in justifying you because justice was satisfied. So you are forgiven of all your sins. So every sin and any sin that you have ever committed as a sinner and as a believer, your faith in Christ, you come to repentance and faith in Christ, man, you are forgiven of your sins. God washed you from all your sins. The record of your sins have now been totally blotted out. So it doesn't make no difference who you are, where you're from, your ethnicity, where you live. You hear the true gospel, you come to faith in Christ, and you trust in what Christ has done for you on the cross, and rest your faith upon Christ, all your sins are forgiven. This is not based upon church or religion or being religious. It's based upon a genuine, authentic faith in Christ, the biblical Christ, accepting the biblical record and embracing what God has said about what Christ has done for you. Okay? Very important to get that and to understand that. Okay? Now, so then we want to deal with not only has God forgiven us, we want to deal with our forgiveness of one another. This is the issue now, because we're going to have differences. We're going to have sometimes disagreements. There may be some things you might say or do or act in a way that would be maybe inappropriate, unbecoming, or maybe you might, or someone as a fellow brother in Christ might do something that may not be aware that was offense to you. Are you willing to forgive? To forgive or not to forgive? Well, based on the word of God, we definitely ought to forgive one another. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. That's the latter part of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. For Christ's sake, yes. In other words, based upon what Christ has done for us, God has forgiven us. Well, the whole verse says, be ye kind. He's writing to believers. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So forgiving one another, that implied that something may come up in your relationship with a fellow brother or sister. So we're dealing with the family of God here. Within with those who are in the church, the body of Christ, that may have an issue. It could be a personality conflict. It could be a difference of opinion. It could be an attitude. It could be something that was done, something that was said, or whatever. Something happened that affected your relationship of a fellow brother or sister. And here's the thing. If there's an issue, we need to come together and resolve the issue. Not attack each other, not talk about each other, not put each other down. You have to have humility, all right, because you ain't that perfect. I don't care how good you are or how good you like to think you are. You ain't so good in comparison to Christ, in comparison to his perfect righteousness. So there's an issue. Pride is an issue with many believers because they don't want to acknowledge and confess their fault. And the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. You have to humble yourself sometimes to a fellow brother or sister. I have a son. I have two sons and a daughter. My son, 21, years ago when he was much younger, I had a judgment that I made. It was a little rushed judgment. And I found out that my judgment was a premature judgment and that I was wrong. And I realized that I was wrong. When I realized it, then I put my son aside. I said, son, listen, daddy had made a rushed judgment. I had assumed something without getting all the facts together. And I kind of went and made a judgment against you, son. I kind of rebuked you. And I want to humble myself, son, and acknowledge that that was a rushed judgment on my part. I'm on myself, son, and I'm asking you to forgive me, son. Daddy apologized for that. And he forgave me. And it took me, because, see, you think, you know, oh, you're a father, you don't apologize. No, I had to humble myself. So sometimes you may have to humble yourself, and I had to humble myself to my son. So the natural part of me as a man and the flesh part, no, humble yourself, because if I don't do it, that's pride. But if I humble myself, God's grace is upon me, because God gives grace unto the humble. So it's very important. So here's the thing. There are issues that come up within families, within the church, within the body of Christ. I think it's very important that we address these issues and we try to bring resolution. So we want to deal with forgiveness. We want to deal with reconciliation and restoration. All right? Now, so if there's an issue, the Bible tells you how to deal with the issue. All right? For an example, we're going to go to, there's a couple of passages, but we'll go to Matthew chapter 18, okay? Now, we're going to Matthew chapter 18 first. And we'll start at verse 15. Jesus is speaking, and he says, if your brother trespasses against you, so we're doing a trespass, all right? Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, all right? So, here it is. Your brother trespassing against you, he may not be even aware of a trespass against him. Okay? He might be. The context didn't say whether he knew it or not is the fact that if something that was a trespass, he went. The word trespass means to go beyond. So maybe he went beyond a certain point. And so it's a matter now of a resolution here. Jesus said, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. It didn't say go broadcast it and go talk to other people and put him down. It didn't say that, but this is what many people do within the church. What is he doing? God is concerned about healthy relationships within the church family, because the church consists of people, the families. So we're dealing with now to your brother. So it could be somebody within your biological family. It could be a spiritual family. Maybe they're not biologically related to you or whatever, but the fact is we're dealing with brethren here, dealing with some type of a family unit within the church body. So moreover, if your brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. Means won your brother. Well, how you win somebody over? Well, you need to go in a spirit of humility, because if you go on an attack, that person is going to close up, withdraw, and be defensive. Because they feel like there's an attack, they're going to withdraw. So if you handle the matter in the right spirit, see, we're going to look at this text, and Paul also says something in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. He says that, brethren, if any man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So if any man is overtaken in a fault, if any man is overtaken in the fault, you which are spiritual, restore in the spirit of meekness. So you have to handle the matter in the right spirit. All right? Now, what you say might be correct. All right? However, you want to make sure you handle it in the spirit of meekness. One translation says the spirit of gentleness. So knowing how to address a matter in a way to bring healing to the relationship. That's what's very important. Because many times when you feel offended, you go on attack. Well, if you have to go on attack, you need to wait before you deal with that matter and ask the Spirit to guide you, yield to the Holy Spirit, and ask God to help you to have a forgiving heart, to address the matter in the spirit of meekness, not in the spirit of anger and not out of your emotions and your impulses. And now you did this, you did that. Now the fight is on. We want to be a peacemaker. So blessed are the peacemakers. So whatever I need to do to put a peace offering on the table between me and my brother in Christ, then that's what I want to do. So I want to go in the spirit of humility. All right? So it says, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he will hear you, you have gained or won your brother. So The Lord is more concerned about reconciliation, that you win your brother over, that peace is made between you and your brother, and y'all can continue to grow in your spiritual advancement with one another and in Christ. Okay? Now, that's very, very important. Now, let me talk to you also about something Jesus said in that same chapter. All right? So Jesus talked about, also, this is all within, we have a break. Stay tuned in right now. We're going to come in right after the break is over to continue our subject matter. Stay tuned in to The Final Authority. See you after the live break.
He promised me he will
deliver.
He promised me he will
PCS. You can share all the fun and watch it spread with no limits. All for a price you'll love.
I'm in a sweet spot. I'm feeling good. Let me show
Get Metro PCS and enjoy fast, unlimited data on a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S. Just like AT&T and Verizon, for less. Switch now and get four lines of unlimited data for $100, period. Metro PCS. Wireless figured out.
QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. A Q.
Okay, I was ready to tune in real fast before the ID. Well, thank you anyway for staying tuned in to the Final Authority. Again, if you have a question, comment, or you have want to express a different view other than the host, which happened to be me, feel free to call. Again, the area code is 914-205-5481. 914-205-5481. Once you are dialed in, press number 1 for your question, comment, or expression of a different view, and my producer will connect you to my line, okay? All right, so we're going to finish up where we left off on dealing with forgiveness. So we left off over in Matthew chapter 18, and I was going over here to where Peter asked Jesus a question. And this is what Peter said. Then in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, then came Peter to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Now, that was considered a lot. Wow, till 7 times? Peter is asking a question, and then he says, till 7 times. And it kind of implied that, oh, that's probably good on human terms. Sound pretty good. I'm looking good. Till 7 times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. What does that mean? Wow, 70 times 7? That is a lot. Now, so forgiveness is really, it means to release, to loose, to let go of, to drop, to pardon of one's offense, which means that whatever it was that was between you and the other party or parties, that you're going to let it go, you're going to drop it. You're going to pardon them of the offense, which means that you no longer hold that against them, which means that you no longer bring that up, and you won't use that as something happens again, or you throw it back in their face again. No, let's deal with the new issue here. Or maybe they've done something again. You got to address the issue, all right? Because Jesus did say in Luke chapter 17 that if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. So if there's a trespass against you, then you ought to definitely address the issue and keep them accountable. If they repent, to forgive him, all right? We have that. Also, if your brother trespasses against you, but you have to go to them alone in the right spirit, okay? So there's different levels of trespasses and depend upon how you deal with that, but you want to do it in the right spirit because you want to bring resolution, reconciliation, and healing, okay? So Jesus said, I say none to you until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. So forgiveness basically is something that's good for you, because if you got unforgiveness festering in you, that can affect you physiologically. It can cause ulcers, tumors, and so on. All right, chemical imbalances in the body. And all of us have dealt with people whereby we felt we were trespassed against, or they've done things that offend us or upset us or angered us or what have you. It can be kids. It can be a sibling. It can be a parent. It can be a grandparent. It can be a cousin. It can be a friend or associate, or it could be something, maybe somebody you don't even really know. So things have happened, all right? So with this unforgiveness thing, this forgiveness thing we're talking about, to forgive or not to forgive, well, we ought to forgive one another, as we went over it. Why? Because sometimes things come up in our relationship with one another, and we may not like certain things about one another. We need to handle things properly and forgive one another. How can you really worship God and give God glory and just be so, and then you got this thing against your brother and you don't resolve it? God is really concerned about your relationships, okay? In fact, what I want to do, I'm going to take you back to something Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, okay? This is very crucial. And so as often as one sins, you want to maintain a forgiving spirit. I think this is what Jesus is, the thought that Jesus is communicating here in Matthew chapter 18 when Peter says, well, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till 7 times? Jesus said, I say not unto you until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. I think that having a forgiving spirit, I think what's important, a forgiving attitude. You don't walk around festering unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, okay? Now, I'm going to take you back to Matthew chapter 5 real quickly. So in Matthew chapter 5, We're going to look at a couple of verses here, and we're going to look at verse 23 and 24. Jesus says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has ought or something against you, leave there your gift before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now, notice what Jesus said, that if your brother, that if you bring a gift to the altar. Now, normally, this right here, you have to understand that in this particular context, that for a person to walk all the way to the temple, to walk that long, that length of period of time to the temple, get there, and they offer up a gift, and Jesus said, wait a minute, if you bring a gift to the altar, and while you're there, you remember that your brother has ought against you. Did you hear that? We're not talking about something you have against your brother, per se, here. Jesus said, you remember, come to your mind that there's a brother, there's an unresolved issue between you and a fellow brother. Jesus said, leave your gift at the altar. Now, watch what he says. He says, go your way first. Be reconciled to your brother. He didn't say, go ahead and offer the gift and straighten it out later. He said, no. He said, first. So first things first, the priority. Are you willing to do what is first? Are you willing to honor the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, so he says, first. When he says, go your way. First, he says, go your way first. Well, he says, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. That means you got to go leave your gift there, go wherever your brother is, go be reconciled to your brother, which means you have brought peace between you and your brother. There's peace between you and your brother now. There's an embracement of forgiveness between you and your brother. The issue is resolved. Peace is made. That's what God wants. So then he says, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. All right? So have you? If there's an issue between you and another person, you know someone has something against you, we're not talking about that you necessarily have something against someone else. Now, you might, but in this particular text, so Jesus is covering this from different standpoints. So right here in this context, your brother got something against you. He said, don't go. And let me bring it to modern times, if you would. I think that if you was at a service and there's an issue that needs to be resolved between you and a fellow brother, and you got something you want to offer up unto the Lord says, leave your gift. Don't offer your gift up. Go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer. That takes maturity, because people who are dominated by their emotions and their impulses don't want to do that. People who are not humble don't want to do that. You at church service and you can't, don't start doing your praise dance. Don't start doing your singing. Don't start doing your teaching and preaching. No, go be reconciled to your brother. Oh, Lord, I'll take care of that later. No, go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. So God has a purpose why he said that. You may not always understand, well, that means I can't do anything in church today until I get this right with my brother. I won't be able to see them until next week. Well, wait. God's not in a rush to receive your gift. He just wants you to come clean. And see, your relationship with your brother is directly to your relationship with God, because you can't say, I'm honoring God, and yet there's an issue with your brother that you won't correct. No, you honor God by doing the right thing, by doing what he said do. He said first, he said go your way first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. All right? So I think being reconciled has to do with correcting matters and being in peace between you and your brother. Okay? Now, okay, so we covered that. Now, we're going to deal with Matthew, let's go to Luke chapter 17 real quick. All right? Let's deal with this. All right? In Luke 17, and we'll look at verse 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. So here it is. So now right here, there is room for rebuking, that is, you have to address a matter between you and the brother. You have to hold him accountable. So somebody trespassed against you, you have to deal with that person. Don't go telling everybody else and broadcasting news about what so-and-so did or what you didn't like, because will somebody broadcast what you said or what you did? Because you ain't all that perfect, as good as you are, as nice as you are. You know, you want to be handled. Like Paul said, that if any man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, all right, restore that person that's taken the fault in the spirit of meekness. You who yield to the spirit. See, being spiritual, not you who are religious, you who are spiritual. In the context, you're walking in the spirit. You're being led by the spirit, doing what the spirit leads you to do by operating in the spirit of meekness and restoring your brother. Okay? And so here, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespassed against you, now we're dealing with a true offense. Let's go back and read the verse before. All right? So right here in Luke chapter 17, then said the disciples, all right, it is impossible that offenses will come. Jesus said, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. There's going to be some offenses, all right? But woe unto them through whom they come. So there's some offenses. People are going to be doing things that is an offense. For it would be it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of the little ones. Okay? So we're dealing with now such an offense, the nature of the offense, that it is such an offense to the little ones, dealing with God's children, that it caused that one to really stumble away. All right? Said, it can be such an attack against an individual that person stumbled over what has happened, and they are now offended. They fall off the way. Jesus said, take heed to yourself, that if your brother trespass against you. So we're dealing with a known, clear offense now against you. If he trespass against you, he said, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you, seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Wow. Did you hear that? If he says, I repent, he could really mean it, but somehow there's a problem because he repeats the same thing over. I forgive him the first time. I can forget that second time stuff. Third time, no, honey, he might as well go to hell. No. Jesus said, if the brother trespass against you, Jesus said, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, and in that same day he turned to you saying, I repent, Jesus said, you shall forgive him. It's a command. So the forgiveness is on your part. You got to forgive. Now, it may not be easy. It may be challenging. But if you yield to the Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me. And teach me and guide me and empower me, Holy Spirit, to forgive my brother. He has trespassed against me. I rebuke him according to the word, but I need you to enable me to truly from my heart and soul to forgive him. So this is not a natural inclination that we'd be willing to forgive. This takes the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to forgive. So yes, to forgive, this is what we ought to do. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And here is Jesus is speaking on forgiveness. Why? There's issues that are going to come up, that have come up, and there's some more issues that are going to be coming up in your life whereby you are going to have to forgive. Okay? So very important. So we see that forgiveness is an integral part of our relationship and that we are instructed to forgive. Now, you may not always feel like it, but it's not based upon the feeling. I'm submitting to the lordship and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So just like God has completely forgiven you, every sin against God that you have committed, God has forgiven. Rest on that fact. Rest upon the biblical authority of the word of God that God has truly, indeed, forgiven you. You are totally, completely forgiven. God is not holding anything against you at all. Now, again, let me deal with something out of the book of James. James is the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave some wisdom here. And so James talked about that there was envy and strife in the relationship between these body of believers. And he says, where there's envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. In James chapter 3, verse 16, and then he says in verse 17, first of all, let me go back a little bit. Let's go back to James chapter 3. Let me go with, well, that's a whole lot. Let's see, let me go back to verse 8. James chapter 3, verse 8. But the tongue no man can tame. It is unruly and full of deadly poison, the tongue. Therewith, the tongue, we bless God with our tongue, even the Father. And therewith, we curse men. You bless God with that tongue and you curse. He says, you're going to bless God with that tongue and turn around with that same tongue. You're going to curse someone who's in the image of God, in the similitude of God. So James says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. He says, my brothers, these things ought not so to be. This shouldn't be that you use that tongue, bless God, you turn around and curse your brother who's in the image of God. He says, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? No. Can a vine bring figs? No. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. That's true. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, another life, his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So if the truth is presented to you, don't lie against it. You need to humble yourself. So that bitterness and envying and strife, you got to get rid of that. Look, he says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown, planted in peace of them that make peace. So we're talking about here, that wisdom that God gives, that wisdom that's from above, is going to handle a matter because in such a way that it's going to be peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy. It's good fruits. All right. It's without partiality. All right. You forgave your children, but you won't forgive the brother in Christ in the church. You forgave your friend, but you won't forgive someone else who is not necessarily as close. No. It's without partiality. All right. You have to sow peace. You have to make peace. So it says, from whence comes wars, chapter 4, and fightings among you. So there's fighting. So there's all kind of envy and strife. There's confusion, all kind of evil work. He says, listen. So he talks about submitting to God. He tells you in verse 10, humble yourselves. And then we get to chapter 5. He says, confess your faults one to another in verse 16. So we like to magnify somebody else's fault and somebody else's weakness and what somebody else did and what they didn't like and whatever, and they magnify it, and they may feel justified in doing it. But does it make them justified before God in God's court of law based upon authority of Scripture? Absolutely not. Come on, man. We got to handle things according to the Word of God. So it doesn't matter how uncomfortable you feel or how whatever you don't like. Let's do this according to the Word of God, not the way you think it should be done. Well, I don't know if I should do that because – And I don't know if I should say something to him. Well, if you're going to handle a matter according to the Word of God, and you're going to handle a matter by the Spirit of God, and you're going to handle a matter in the spirit of meekness, then you're going to have to do it according to the Word of God. You don't alter the Word of God to suit your feelings or your impulse or the way you think or your opinion. Because, see, your opinions doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. What matters is what God said and what God has revealed in the writings of the apostle for the church to handle these matters. So there's going to be some issues, but you want to be forgiving towards your fellow brother. So it doesn't matter if it's within your own biological family or if it's within a church family or other friends. You want to be the person that makes peace. You don't want to – see, again, you don't want to be giving God glory and turn around with the same tongue, curse your brother. He says, this thing ought not be. He says – that sweet water and bitter water don't come from the same fountain. In other words, if that bitterness is like that is coming out, out your mouth and you're saying that, check the source. Because you're sweet toward God, and but then you turn around and say something evil against your brother, something's wrong. So you got to cleanse your heart. Your heart needs to be cleansed. Glory not. Okay? So here again, I want to read this again. He says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? No. It doesn't happen that way. So he says, verse 14, but if you have bitter envying, that is ill will against somebody, strife, attacking people with words, if you have that in your heart, he says, glory not. Glory not. Lie not against the truth. So you get people that will still go on and just glory, glory, hallelujah, whatever, whatever. And then they get the truth of the word. He says, lie not against the truth. You get it right. Get it right. Do it right. And so if there's some envy or some strife or confusion because of what you said, then you need to get it right. You need to go and have an adult conversation, a mature conversation, and get that thing right. Put a piece off on the table. Humble yourself. Lie not against the truth. Operate in the wisdom that's from above. Because the wisdom from above is pure, is peaceful, is gentle and easy to be entreated, is full of mercy, is full of good fruits, is without partiality. Woo, that's a hard one right there because you deal with in-laws and outlaws. And it's without hypocrisy. That's what it says. So it's without partiality. Don't be partial because it's your blood or not your blood or whatever. And without hypocrisy. Hey, don't be putting on a face and then turn around and say something else. So hypocrisy is putting on a mask. Trying to pretend like everything okay. When in your heart, you know it's not. No, take the mask off. Let's deal with this as adults. Let's deal with this in a mature manner in the right spirit. Okay? Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. So I think that God, based on the word we see, God has forgiven us. And I think that it's very important that we truly forgive one another. This is the word of God. God didn't give us an option about it. It's not about my feelings. It's about doing what God's word say. I'm holding fast to the truth of the word of God. Be doers of the word. James chapter 1 verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay? So now we're talking about doing the word. Now, let me say this. If you had a question or comment, you can get a chance to call in or whatever. I hope I answered some of your questions. You can always also email me at ambassadorer@yahoo.com. Ambassador, ambassadorer@yahoo.com. And so if you have a question, comment, or something you'd like to, you know, email me, I will reply to your question back in email. Okay. Remember that QLJNradio.com, we air live every Monday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., a specific standard time, unless otherwise indicated. Okay. So I thank you for tuning into the show. Remember that God has forgiven you in Christ, and your fellow brother and sister in Christ, forgive one another. Don't hold envy and bitterness and resentment in your heart. Glory not against the truth. Speak not ill will against your brother. Go to them and say, listen, and have a sit-down talk. I want to share something with you, and I come in the spirit of grace and spirit of gentleness, and I want to put a peace offering on the table between you and I, and I want to ask you to please embrace me with forgiveness from your heart and soul, because I ask you to forgive me, and I apologize for my conduct, my behavior, what I said and what I did. I'm asking you to forgive me from my heart. And so you handle that matter in the spirit of meekness. Okay. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning in to The Final Authority. Jesus is Lord. I'm forgiven in Christ. God bless you.
To Final Authority. We hope you enjoyed our program. Join us again next Monday, right here on the hot new QLJNradio.com. Hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs, The Cube.